The following conversation is about the adventure of writing a book in someone else's voice. Charlottesville's Jonathan Coleman is a former 60 Minutes producer who's the author of three books, two of which were New York Times bestsellers. Jerry West is literally the icon of the National Basketball Association. That's his silhouette on the NBA logo. Jerry played his entire career with the Los Angeles Lakers, then continued his association with the team as a coach and as Lakers GM. Jonathan Coleman and Jerry West, kind of an odd couple on the face of it, spent 3 years collaborating on the instant New York Times bestseller West by West, My Charmed, Tormented Life. This book is not your average sports book. In it, Jonathan channels Jerry talking frankly about his sometimes very dark personal life. The collaboration began with Jonathan giving Jerry West a call at his West Virginia home.
I called him and I said I was given this number to call at a very specific time. And he said, yeah, I got home at 2 o'clock from hunting, and I knew I needed about 15 minutes to just pull myself together. So I said, that's why you were asked to call anytime from 2:15 on. Well, I said, that doesn't surprise me. You played in a very precise way on the court. But let me ask you, Jerry, you were hunting? There's no hunting going on now. He said, oh, really? He said, you live in Virginia. You think hunting is only about deer hunting. He said, I'm turkey hunting here. He said, boy, he said, this may not be a long telephone call, you know, because you don't seem to know anything. And I said, well, you got me on that, Jerry, but the next time we talk, I'll know everything about turkey hunting. And I looked back on that first call, and it was very illuminating because the ball was already in play right away.
Absolutely.
The question was already being asked. Are you competent? Can you play? And, of course, I loved that. We never set out to write a conventional sports book. That would have held zero interest for me, and it held zero interest for him.
Conventional sport book, you mean where he played and who he played?
Conventional sport book would be very much a straight chronological account of his life, where he played, games, which people love, except that those books get forgotten. And they're basically books that don't really delve very deeply. The ones that have risen and endured have been more about relationships, that have been introspective, that have been reflective. That's what we set out to do.
Jerry West is from West Virginia, arguably the most well-known West Virginian ever. His upbringing was impoverished, his father abusive, his beloved older brother died when Jerry West was 12.
The young boy, the whole notion of making it, getting away, certainly he wanted to get away from the home he grew up in, doing something was there. And these questions of competition, of drive, of ambition, were there in this rather backward, quiet, shy boy who developed a chip on his shoulder, an angry, emotional chip on his shoulder because of a father who didn't seem to approve of him, a father who beat him, and he never understood why, a father that he ultimately threatened to kill with his 410 Remington that he kept under his bed. You know, people have asked Jerry many times, would you have been the player you were had you had a happy childhood? He said he didn't think so. So it's quite a price to pay.
Yeah.
It's quite a price to pay. But what Jerry convinced me of, and I interviewed other elite athletes along the way, is the ones who've really succeeded the most have something driving them. And Jerry has struggled his whole life with depression. But his battle with depression really has been much more acute when he wasn't playing. When he was playing, he could put all his energy onto the court. It really plagued him much more when he was coaching and when he was an executive. And one of the things that made Jerry so brilliant was he was as brilliant off the court as he was on, probably the greatest general manager in the history of basketball. Even though he is the most impatient person this country has ever produced, he processes information very quickly. He's thorough. He's comprehensive. He works hard. He's dedicated. He's focused in a way that was just amazing to me, in a way that I had to completely understand. And what was different for me about this than my previous work is on some level I had to become him. I had to know how he thought, how he talked, his expressions, his idiosyncrasies. Yes, you need to know all of that about characters you write about, but I had to go further with this because in a way I had to sort of morph into Jerry West.
Jerry West is a famously private and reserved individual.
Right.
Why did he decide to write a book about himself?
The timing was right for him to do this, but it was also that he felt that nobody really knew who he was.
Including himself?
At times, including himself. He even says in the book, "In many ways, I'm an enigma, including to myself, especially to myself." And I have found in all the years of doing this sort of work, one common thread that's always there, that if you approach people in the right way, if they, for whatever reason, feel they can put their trust in you, then what you wind up with is a situation in which a person feels they have an opportunity to explain themselves, an opportunity to be understood.
You are the confessor?
Yeah, in a way, the confessor, and psychiatrist, the person who's embarked on a journey with them. In the case of Jerry West, this is his story. This is his legacy, really, in writing. Whether you're writing about somebody living or dead, you want to make sure that you got it, that you got all of it, in all its depth and complexity. Jerry demonstrated to me a desire, and I could see he had the capacity to go deep enough to tell a story, in his case, that's dark, that's convoluted, that in many ways is unpleasant, that was certainly going to be a shock to people who read it. And what I needed from him and what he needed from me was absolute, total trust. I was going to learn a lot of things that would never be in the book, but they had to be able to trust me to keep in what I call the vault. I have a lot of stuff in the vault over these many, many years of doing things, and you can't betray a confidence.
Let me ask you this. I made some page notations, and you, let's see, page 7, you're driving through West Virginia, and all of a sudden you're a character in this book.
Right.
Tell me about that.
Well, I didn't know how that was going to play out. When we first contracted for this, I had no idea whether I needed to be in the story or not. And we were embarking on this journey together, this journey of discovery together. And in a way, because I was his confessor, we did that. The publishing house wanted me to come out. Even if we know that we're perpetrating an illusion, and even though you're on the jacket, we would rather you come out to not distract. I said, "I'll come out if you want. It's not the right decision. I'm not in it that much. When I'm there in a way that advances the story." So once we got their edited version, I took myself out. I told Jerry, "Look, I care more that we keep the structure we have," because the editor was arguing at one point for a structure. He thought it maybe should be straight and linear. And I said, "That's not who he is. And that's not really the way I write. And I don't think it suits that."
And the structure that's here bounces back and forth. It's really.
But is roughly chronological.
Yeah. But it's an exploration of, to me.
It's a tapestry.
Yeah. Of how he got to be this guy at 60 something, looking back and wanting to understand his own.
73.
Life. You're kidding me.
Well, no, I'm sorry. When we started the project, Jerry was 70. Right. Yeah. So as it turned out, there's a certain element of stream of consciousness mm-hmm. to this. It's Jerry's voice. It's the way Jerry thinks. It's the way Jerry thinks. It's authentic to who he is.
Speaking of that, Jerry's voice. I've known you for a long time. I know what your deep relationship with the English language. That's your baby, is your relationship with the English language.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I do revere words.
Yes. I read this phrase. When I talked earlier about the world I grew up in, I should have added this. I was surrounded by diminished expectations. Now, I looked at that, and that is one of those pithy, I was surrounded by diminished expectations, is one of those pithy, powerful images that puts in a whole family constellation into what, 6 words or 8 words or how many words it is.
And what you just read has been referred to a lot.
And just as a pure technical thing, is that something you extrapolated from the way Jerry West talked about his childhood, and it is a distillation?
Yes.
It's your words.
Yes.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter in a way because we're both on the jacket. It was like a mind meld. I become Jerry in a way. It's only convincing in that it fits with his mind mm-hmm. and the fact that he's a voracious reader. You know, if I were doing this book with Shaquille O'Neal, who I loved interviewing, we couldn't have, yeah. you couldn't have run that argument.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody would have believed it, but you have somebody. Yes, I extrapolated that. The flip side, and why I knew I needed to be in the book, the first long drive mm-hmm. to his hometown, beautiful day, late August, and I knew from talking with him that the mountains of West Virginia were sacred to him because he climbed them as a young boy to get away from a home he didn't want to be in, a home that he says, you know, where he never knew what love was. Certainly never heard that word in that house.
Which is really sad.
Oh, very sad. There's this, on yeah. some level, this book's very sad.
Yeah.
So I'm driving with him. I've already driven with Jerry in California. I love driving around with him. And I just looked up in the mountains, I said, all right, we're heading toward Chilean. You know, we're here in the state that you love and that you were born in. What do you see in your mind's eye when you look up into the mountains? I had no idea what he was going to say. And what's in there is, as he said it, as Jerry said it.
As Jerry said it.
Right. As Jerry said it.
Right,
and basically, that's early in. As we rolled west on Interstate 64 in a white Lincoln SUV, Jonathan asked what I saw in my mind's eye. Well, on this particular day, I saw mountains and landscapes and various configurations of clouds and sky that I have always wished I had the talent to paint. Now, some of that is me extrapolating from him, but it's I always wished I had the talent to paint.
That's him.
In my imagination, I am a French impressionist, a Monet, who can, with a masterly stroke of my brush, create a dreamlike state of shimmering color, a world of such natural richness and nuance that richness and nuance might actually be inadequate for what I am trying to express. I know it when I see it, and yet I've always wondered, what are the things? What are the elements? What are the revealing clues that set a Monet or even a Picasso apart? I think you can almost read the personalities of these people. I'm no art connoisseur, but if you look at paintings that were painted at different periods of their lives, I find myself wanting to know what happened to their lives in between great works to make them change like this. It's a combination of me and Jerry. It's like, I know it when I see it, and yet I've always wondered, what are the things? That's all Jerry. What might be me is with a masterly stroke of my brush, create a dreamlike state of shimmering color, a world of such natural richness and nuance that richness and nuance might actually be inadequate for what I'm trying to express. So it's emerging, but it's drawing. But he, this was so crucial. I don't know that he's going to be, I don't know that he's going to be talking about Monet and Picasso. I didn't know that he wished he could be a painter. And that was a crystalline moment because I said to myself, I didn't say this to Jerry at the time, but I said to myself, well, did you ever make the right choice?
Jonathan Coleman will be at Writer House in Charlottesville on Wednesday, January 18th at 7 p.m., discussing the art and responsibility of narrative nonfiction writing. You'll find a relevant link on the Spark page at WMRA.org.